Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody here today. We're so glad that you're with us and on this fifth Sunday after Pentecost. And we want to welcome everybody a little bit later on. I forgot to change that over. I'll be asking that question, what makes you afraid? And we're going to be looking at a story where Jesus and the disciples are on the boat on the sea. So let's, as we begin today, let's stand and join together and sing our Gloria Patria.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now.
Let's join together for our call to worship this morning. In the midst of life's storms, God is there. In the darkness and terror, God is with us. Rise up, people of God, for Christ is with us. Well, let's join together there, and you can turn to your hymn books if you'd like to sing out of that, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint as we sing A Shelter in the Time of Storm this morning.
The Lord our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm, secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes affright, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock, a shelter in the time of storm. The raging storm may round us be, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary. Shelter in the time of storm. O rock divine, O refuge dear, O storm, be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary. A shelter in the time. Let's sing the refrain again. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Aren't you
glad today that we have a solid rock that we stand on in the storms of life? Let's join together there for our opening prayer. Awesome God, we trust in you this day. When we are overwhelmed by life, may your love give us significance. When we are overcome by forces beyond our control, May you speak words of peace when trouble or sorrow set in. May your strength help us persevere. We offer you praise and honor, love and loyalty with our lips and our lives. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. If you would like to turn to the next hymn, it's 524, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint there. It is Well With My Soul, the three verses this morning. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, me to say, it is well. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin. My favorites. You know what? We don't have any kids today. You want to sing out of the hymn books? Should we stump? Stump her this morning? I didn't tell her we were going to do this. Does anybody have a favorite one? Hey, we got plenty of time. It's only like 10 after. Oh yeah, come on. You got your hymn. Anybody got a favorite one real quick? What is it? 259. Okay, I got to find my, here we go. I'm going to find my hymn book. 259, Christ the Lord is risen today. Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Sons of men and angels say, Alleluia. Raise your joys and triumph high. Was thinking about it when we started that hymn. I don't think we sang that one this past Easter. Yeah, I think we sang it last year. So I have a question. Did that happen to just be what you opened it up to and it fell there? There we go. That's really stumping there, right there. So as we go to prayer today, maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning. Yes, it did. Thank God for that. As soon as it started raining this morning, I was thanking God already for that. Yes, big time. Yeah.
I have several.
Okay.
We just lost Dale Sotzing.
Yes. Who?
Dale Sotzing.
Oh, yes. Yes. What's the last name?
Sotzing.
Okay. Yes. I know the grandkids, his grandkids, and the kids, but I knew him and his wife, but yeah. And yeah, that was kind of a surprise. I didn't know he had all those health issues. So we want to remember the family there today. I may probably mispronounce it, but yes. Okay.
Loughlin,
okay. And?
My sister, Mama Lane Taylor, just got out of the hospital with COVID.
Okay. And what was her first name again?
Lorene,
okay. Sorry, sometimes when the air conditioners are going and I have this turned up to the second level on the speed today because of how warm it was this morning. I have a hard time hearing at times, so we want to pray for Lorene as she's recovering, and then the two families there. I saw another one. Yep. Okay. Unspoken this morning. Somebody else. Yep. Gosh, okay. So she was talking about Dex when he was running the train. I guess there was an Amish buggy that a little 14-year-old boy lost control of his buggy and got killed. She said it wasn't by the train, but...
No, it was by the train.
Oh, it was? Oh, it was... No, it wasn't his train. Okay.
Okay.
Yes, definitely. All of that. Definitely. Somebody else. Well, we got a lot. Hold. I'll start in the front and kind of move back here. Okay. Okay, for Donna, for recovering cancer, yes.
And then our friend Emily went to Maine with her service sorority two or 3 days ago. She fell and broke her leg, and she is having surgery tomorrow morning at the Maine Hospital.
Okay, is that Emily from First Church?
It is.
Okay. All right. Yeah, okay.
I have a Joy.
Yes.
Barely in the barn. But Nikki Henry, which was Bobby's best friend in school, married them. She was very
impressed.
But the service was, and I cried. I had given Trey our sweating room.
She was celebrating her grandson's wedding yesterday, and she was saying that they gave Trey and his, I'm trying to think of her first name.
Courtney,
yes, because I can see her face, their wedding rings they shared. So, yeah, she said she was crying. So, yeah, Connie. Oh, that's wonderful. Releasing Kelly after her lumpectomy, yes, after 5 years. So we're thankful for that and celebrating that today. Yeah, thank God. Yeah, go ahead. You said Kim, right?
Kim and Chris.
Chris,
the
yeah.
Brothers and sisters.
Okay. Yes, I remember praying for them. I wanted to make sure I was hearing the names correctly. So, okay, so we had several over here. Yeah. The last one?
Rob.
Oh, okay, good. Glad to hear about that. And, yeah, so we definitely want to keep Bill and Shauna and Rob in our prayers as they are continuing to recover, and we're thankful for that. Yeah.
Two unspoken.
Okay. Unspoken this morning. Any others this morning? Yeah. Yes. What was her name? What was her name?
Miranda.
Miranda.
And Ben's my son.
Okay. So we want to remember Miranda in our prayers with this preeclampsia and for the baby. And definitely want to lift that up and them up for sure. So somebody else, anybody else this morning? That's
we
good.
We had a little issue, but he got the AC and
I saw somebody, well, I didn't see it, but I knew of somebody and heard of somebody that got dehydrated so bad that you would have thought they had, they just cramped all up like this in a little ball and was in massive pain. And so that's why it's important to drink fluids, especially during this heat. So, yes. And we always have to tell my son that. Yes. The kid that never drinks water. I'm like, you got to drink. So, so thank God for that. And everybody went, did well. And thankfully, Dana's feeling better. So,
oh, yes.
Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah. Who?
Daryl.
Oh, Daryl, okay. Yep, so we can remember Tammy with the baby coming, and for Daryl too. Anybody else then? Anybody else? All right, well, there's quite a few there to lift up. Appreciate you praying for some of those that come to your mind as she plays, and then I'll come and close us out. God of all comfort, we thank you today that when the storms of life strike quickly, that we are able to turn to you in those times and turn our faith and our trust to you in the midst of situations that overwhelm us, that shake our faith, that cause anxiety, that makes us weary, that brings doubts into our hearts. We are thankful that we can look to you, the one who speaks to the winds and the waves and brings calm in the midst of the storms. Thank you today that your presence is with us. For each one that's been mentioned, Lord, today, we do want to lift them up to you. Lord, as we think of Donna today with the discovery of reoccurring cancer again, God, and needs a miracle and a touch there. We ask for your healing presence. Lord, for Lauren, or who's recovering, God, Lord, we ask that you would be with her today. For Emily, Lord, and that's going in for surgery this week, with that fall, Lord, we ask for your touch for her and guidance for her. For Chris, for recovery, Lord. For Bill and Shauna, Lord, for healing and recovery, Lord, we ask that you would grant your grace, Lord. For Rob, Lord, who's healing and recovering, God, we ask for your touch and strength today. For Miranda and the baby, Lord, with this preeclampsia, God, we ask for your grace and mercy extended there, and give wisdom and guidance to the doctors as they watch over her and keep a close eye on her through that time, and that you'll bring her through that safely and the baby too. Lord, we pray for Tammy, Lord, with the baby also coming, Lord, that you would watch over her and the baby, Lord. And thank you for Daryl that's down there helping her, his daughter, Lord, and watch over them and give them strength, Lord. Lord, we pray for these three families, Lord, that lost loved ones this week, Lord. We just ask for your touch and your comfort and your peace for each one of them today. Lord, may your love be extended. Lord, for the four unspoken needs today that were mentioned, and maybe some others that might be on some people's hearts today that maybe they couldn't share, we ask that you would minister as only you can do. We thank you for your presence and your grace that is able to work in situations behind the scenes, and so we ask that you would do that for those needs today. And Lord, we're so grateful and thankful, Lord. Lord, we continue to pray for situations around our world, Lord. We think about situations where poverty and war and conflict is so prevalent right now in certain places in our world. We think about Israel and the Palestinian situation. We think about Russia and Ukraine, Lord. God, we just ask that you would make a way in the midst of those situations to bring a ceasefire and a ceasing of conflicts, Lord. And somehow, in some way, there can be peaceful negotiations that can happen, and to bring a halt to these, to the destruction and to the loss of life. Oh God, we ask for your comfort and grace in the midst of that. Lord, we also pray for situations in our world where disease and starvation and lack of water seems to be an ongoing occurrence. Lord, we thank you for organizations and ministries and churches that try to reach out in so many ways to help. And sometimes, Lord, it's the result of governments and people in charge and dictators and so many other things. And we just ask for your mercy and your grace today in all of those situations. And God, we thank you for your presence with us today in this service, Lord. We ask that your blessing would be upon the rest of our time, especially as we break the bread of your word and talk a little bit about those times when we face fearful times, anxious times, worrying times, Lord, that your presence would be real, that you would speak to us and encourage us today. And let us know that you are with us through everything, and that faith will increase in our trust in you. And we thank you for those all of those things, Lord. Lord, we think about those that are not with us today, some that are traveling, Lord, some that may be working, whatever it may be, Lord, some on vacation, God. Lord, we just ask that your hand will be upon each of them, that you'll bring them back safely to be with us again in worship. And we're thankful for all of those things today. As we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you for taking time to pray with us this morning. Well, as God has blessed us and graced us in so many different ways, we have the opportunity to share those blessings with others and a part of the ministry here of the church and going forth from here out into our community and world. And so we thank you for your faithfulness and listening to God's voice as you give. And so as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Let's join together there for our prayer dedication in the bulletin. Generous God, we offer our gifts with thankful hearts. Bless our offering to accomplish your purposes in your world or in the church and the world. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Our scripture reading this morning is coming from the lectionary gospel reading today as it continues on in the Markan story. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, and you can follow along there on the PowerPoint. Later that day, remember what happened last week? Jesus was out on the boat, and he was standing in the boat, or maybe sitting in the boat, we're not told, and he was teaching parables throughout the day. So later that day, when evening came, Jesus said to them, "Let's cross over to the other side of the lake." They left the crowd and took him in the boat just as he was. Other boats followed along. Gale-force winds arose and waves crashed against the boat so that the boat was swamped. But Jesus was in the rear of the boat, sleeping on a pillow. They woke him up and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we're drowning?" He got up, gave orders to the wind, and he said to the lake, "Silence, be still." The wind settled down, and there was a great calm. Jesus asked them, "Why are you frightened? Don't you have faith yet?" Overcome with awe, they said to each other, "Who then is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him." That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Well, last week I shared a little bit of a baseball joke, so I have another one for you this morning. A rookie pitcher was struggling at the mound, so the catcher walked up to him to have a talk with him. "I figured out your problem," he told the young southpaw. "You always lose control at the same point in every game." "What's that?" said the young rookie pitcher. "Right after the national anthem." I want to talk to you this morning about when faith and fear collide. When faith and fear collide. So I asked that question earlier. It was up on the PowerPoint there. But I'm going to ask it again. What makes you afraid? There's probably lots of reasons. If I was a betting person, I would venture to say probably your family or loved ones, whatever's going on in their lives, could probably bring fear or anxiety or worry faster than probably anything else. I think many of us also might struggle with some phobias that are kind of lurking around inside of us. You might be familiar with claustrophobia, I think most of that. Maybe because the claustra is close to closet, and maybe it's because you don't like those close places. When I was younger, none of that ever bothered me. As I've gotten a little older, that might not be so true anymore. I think a little bit of closed-in spaces or feeling overwhelmed at times. I can remember the one time when I had my disc that was crushed and had to be operated on. But before that, I had to have an MRI. And I remember looking up, and the top of the MRI machine was this far away from my nose. And I had to close my eyes and talk to myself so that I could get through that, because I did not want to have to come back another day, which delayed everything else, because, you know, I already had a month and a half of severe pain and everything. For some of you, it may be arachnophobia, fear of spiders. If Chase was here this morning, he could definitely tell you that he is fearful of spiders. I do not know what the word for fear of snakes are, but I am not a fan of snakes. I'm not a big fan of snakes. I could have brought a picture and showed you, but acrophobia is the fear of heights. And normally I'm pretty good, but when we went to Chicago a few summers ago, and I had been up on the Sears Tower. I remember leaning over and they said, put your head on the window like this and look down. And they told us that famous story that if we dropped a penny from right here and if it hit a person on the top of the head, it would go right through their entire body and come out in the bottom of them. Well, if you've been there in the Sears, what used to be called the Sears Tower, it's called something else now, I don't remember. But if you've been in there in the last 5 to 7 years, they've done something new. They've extended a floor outside of the main walls of the building and put glass all around it. And you could step out on there and get your picture taken. There's a camera thing. And Jody and Chase went right out there and they're trying to get me out there. And I'm like creeping out there as slow as could be. And you know, it's funny, I had not had issues in a long time until that. And man, I was deathly afraid in that moment to step out on that thing. Because the floor, you can see through the floor. You don't just see through the walls, you can see through the floor. It's all this thick, transparent, whatever it is. And, you know, so, and then, I don't know if you've ever heard of this one, there might be a few of you that have homilophobia, which is the fear of sermons. I do not know if somebody made that up, but I can tell you homiletics is the technical term for that's used for putting sermons together, and I'm thinking that's where they got that homilo, homilophobia. I think that's where they may have gotten that from. In our reading today, Jesus and his disciples are traveling across the Sea of Galilee. Actually, the Sea of Galilee, what is called the Sea of Galilee, is a freshwater lake about 7 by 13 miles is the size of it. And as they're crossing over, a storm arises. Now, this is very common because the way the Sea of Galilee, it kind of sets in a valley. You know what it comes closest to? If you've ever been down to the University of Cincinnati's football stadium, they call it the bowl, is what they call the UC football stadium down there, the bowl. It's like a bowl. That's the way the Sea of Galilee was, with heights on either side. And winds would come down through there and would whip up these gale force storms that would happen ever so often. And so the disciples, who about half of them had probably been out on the water most of their lives fishing or involved in something else there. And so the storm, as the winds start picking up and the waves start rising up, all of a sudden the waves start crashing into the boat and filling up the boat. And the disciples are freaking out as they look over and they see Jesus asleep. As I was thinking about that, and the way Mark tells the story, just that quick, what was familiar and calm to them became frightful and fearful and brought terror. Have you ever been there? Can you relate? As we think about this, I want to talk to you about the two aspects of the collision that's going on there when faith and fear collide. Both of them happen in storms. So let's look at them. First of all, fear in the storms. Fear in the storm. We all face fears, don't we? Some fears are healthy, aren't they? Some fears are there to protect us, and that's a good thing. You know, remember when your kids were little? And mom or dad, whoever it was working on the stove, and you told your kids, most all of us did, I remember telling Chase, I remember telling all of them, when we're working on the stove, don't come and put your hand up on the stove. We kind of put a healthy fear in them, so to speak, because they'll get burned. Some fears are natural. It's just natural to be afraid when you're in certain instances and situations. It's built into us because it's a protection kind of a thing. Some fears are more real than others. Sometimes you talk to somebody and they tell you how much they're afraid of spiders, and you're like, oh my gosh, they could crawl all over me and go up on my head and in my hair, and I wouldn't even care. But then you could tell them your fear, snakes or whatever, heights or whatever, and they might look at you like, well, that's nothing to be afraid of. So some fears are more real than others. Here's something else that I really was thinking about and was struck me this week. Some fears feed off the fears of others. And I want you to hear that this morning, because with social media, I have never seen in my life how people's fears feed off of the fears of others since social media came about. Oh my gosh, if this doesn't get fixed, it's going to be the end of our country. Or if we don't take care of this, we're not going to have a justice system anymore. You hear what I'm saying? Or whatever else you want to say. I mean, there's all kinds of them, even the teenagers and the kids and stuff. It's like it's always the end of the world. If something doesn't, all that is doing is feeding fears. And feeding fears can be dangerous. And Jesus speaks to those fears in our story today. So let me focus just a moment on two things about on this point about feeding our fears. We can feed our anxieties by what we see, hear, or read. And you can say your fears, your terrors, your worries. I mean, you could put a lot of things in there for anxiety. The disciples were definitely overcome with fear when they saw the waves, heard the wind. I can tell you this very clearly, that when I saw I could see through the floor on that Sears Tower extension, I was afraid. When I would go with Chase or anybody, even my friends in youth group, and we went to the very top of the roller coaster, I had my eyes closed until halfway going down, and then I opened them up because of that heights. And not only that they were afraid by what they saw, they were afraid by what they were hearing, the wind and the storm. I'm sure there might have been other things going on. And when they saw the water starting to come over into the boat, I'm sure panic set in that moment for some of them. But I also believe that their fears were fed when they looked over and saw Jesus asleep. I'm going to say more about that in a little bit, but I'll leave that one alone for right now. I can imagine the disciples saying all kinds of terrifying things as panic set in. I can imagine all kinds of thoughts were playing in their mind in that moment and playing on their fears and taking advantage of their lack of faith in the moment. You know, we can feed our fears or our intrepidations by misjudging Jesus during the storm, during life storms. And I think that's why they said what they said to Jesus. The disciples couldn't figure out why Jesus was sleeping in that moment. And here's what I want you to hear. They mistook his peace, his trust in God, for indifference. Have you ever felt like somebody didn't care? You know, so I've heard people say this before, love me or hate me, just don't ignore me. And that's what they felt in that moment. Teacher, don't you care? Don't you care what's happened to us? Have you ever said that? I mean, I think I have before in my life. God, don't you care what's going on in my life right now? Later, after he spoke calm in that situation. Hold on a second. they said, "Who is this? Who is this? We thought we knew him. Even the winds and the sea obey him." Just when they thought they had Jesus all figured out, he surprised them. I don't know if you've experienced that, but I feel like I've experienced that in my life on many occasions. And you know what else I think? I think many of our fears can be calmed when we get accurate information about situations and we trust and know in our heart that Jesus does care. Fear in the storms. And that brings me to the other, faith in the storms. Faith in the storms. And I'm going to talk about faith with a little bit different idea here when I talk about it, although I'll reference it throughout this part. But I want to focus on this word constancy. Constancy. So I started looking up different words for faith. You know, a lot of times we think of belief. But in the Bible, belief is rarely the meaning of faith in the Bible. But that's the majority of the way we think of it. I believe this, I believe that, you know, and so forth. But really, faith in the Bible is trust or faithfulness. And I think so there's this fidelity, this constancy, this loyalty aspect that comes out. And so the first thing I want you to see is constancy aids our strength, or our constancy in faith aids our strength. And I was thinking about this. The reason why basketball players keep practicing free throws is so that when the game is on the line and they're tired and exhausted from running up and down the court, because you know free throw shooting can make all the difference in the world in the last minute of the game. And everybody's counting on them. There's pressure, there's hollering, there's yelling. They can make those crucial shots in those moments. And I started to think about this. When everything is going well, we may think, you know, everything's going well in life. You know, God, faith, it's kind of a automatic tendency that just kind of happens sometimes. Yet here's the thing, constancy in our faith when everything is going well is always important so that when things are not going well, we can find strength in the storms. That's my point there. And that's what I want you to see. Constancy in our faith aids our strength in the midst of the storms when they come along. Second thing here about constancy is constancy helps us step out of our comfort zone. Something hit me when I first read this passage this week. And here's what I thought. Jesus will challenge us from time to time to do certain things. What happened? He's probably tired and exhausted out there preaching all day in the boat. The disciples are probably tired and exhausted. And Jesus says, "Let's go to the other side." Well, they had to row. But also, guess who was on the other side? Gentile territory, where the sinners live and people we don't want to associate with and be around. Whoa, wait a minute, Jesus. What do you mean, let's go over to the other side? We're tired, we're exhausted. And you got to read Mark 5, and it might be a reading next week. I don't know. I haven't looked that far ahead. When they arrive on the other side, their fears are confirmed. Because they meet a naked dude who is out of his mind running around in a cemetery. Yep, that's right there in the story. And Jesus has to deal with that. Here's what I want you to see. Following Jesus may take us out of our comfort zone. He may call us to serve and love people that are different from us. Again, constancy in our faith prepares us for those times when we feel that way, or we feel nudged to do something like that. Now, it's okay to freak out now and then in the storms of life. It's okay to freak out a little bit when Jesus asks us to do something that we may not feel like doing at the time. It's only natural. But don't forget, whenever that happens, Jesus is with us in the boat. And look at what Jesus does. He speaks to the winds and waves, and he says this, "Silence! Be muzzled," literally. Don't you just love that? And Mark tells us that immediately the wind settled and there was a great calm. By the way, I think the great calm included the disciples. That's what we need in the storms of life, the calm of Jesus. What do you fear today? What has been making you anxious and overwhelmed and worrying and fearful and dreadful, and how many other terms I can use? What phobias are holding you back from doing what God might ask you to do? Let Jesus silence your storms so that you may receive his calm. Did you notice the calm comes at the very end of going through the storm? So that we may receive his calm when fear and faith collide. Amen. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and take a couple minutes and share God's blessing and greet one another, and then we'll close out with our little chorus there. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. If you'd like to follow along in the hymn book there, the little chorus, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul." Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich. And let's sing it again. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Well, let's join together for our benediction. Go forth in the strength of the Lord. May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace this week, that we may abound in hope. Amen. Amen. Get them all.